Hey, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome to the Marketplace Tech Source Code. We've got 4 minutes on the air each day, and sometimes that is just not enough. I talk with someone and I think, man, I really wish people could hear more of that interview. And that is what the Source Code is about, giving you basically my full unedited interview with a guest who has a lot to talk about. In this case, Hao Wu. Hao is the director of the new documentary film People's Republic of Desire. Here's Hao Wu in the Source Code. So I'm guessing that most Americans are not familiar with YY, the streaming platform. Can you tell us how it works?
So live streaming, we also have live streaming here in the U.S., for example, like Twitch. A lot of users go on Twitch to watch other gamers live stream their playing. And Twitch live streamers also make a lot of money. But live streaming in China is a lot more different. You can imagine live streaming in China as almost like a YouTube video, but that's streaming live. And when users leave a comment, they're actually just chatting live. And also the way live streamers make money is not through ad sponsorships or subscription. They actually make money from digital gifts. And a lot of times their fans buy them tons of digital gifts a night, from digital lollipops to digital diamond rings.
Right. And how many people are watching and paying real money to these hosts, would you say?
So in China, according to the statistics, around 400 million people are watching live streaming. And I think there are millions of registered live streamers. But a lot of live streamers, they don't last very long because it's a very competitive space. So many live streamers, they try for a few months and then they give up because they can't get enough fans or they cannot make enough money. But right now in China, if you ask young people what's their desired profession, a lot of people say they want to become live streamers.
Hmm. And are those same young people watching live streaming more than TV or any other form of entertainment?
That really depends on the young people you're talking about. For example, more educated young people, they sometimes watch more traditional TV and also traditional streaming videos, similar to what we have here, like Netflix. But for a lot of young people who are lonely, who are less educated, who just want to have some laugh or listen to some pretty girl singing karaoke, they log on to live streaming and watch live streamers.
So then who are the creators? Do they mostly come? I mean, certainly in your documentary, it seems like the hosts that you follow come from that same social group, right? They are a little bit undereducated or poor or hoping for more.
Yeah. I mean, live streamers are very popular in China right now because they have come from very poor background with little education and don't have great career prospects in real life. So the kind of jokes they tell tend to be a little bit dirty or quote-unquote crass. And also they just sing some pop songs, cheesy pop songs to appeal to their fans. These are the type of content that a typical, let's just say, a migrant worker, after he or she have finished working in the factory or in a dead-end office job, when they go back home, they want to really consume this type of content and be able to interact with the live streamers.
Mm-hmm. And then as your story goes on, you know, at first it seems very democratic, like you could really have this dream and make a lot of money doing this. But it becomes very clear that there's then a whole business behind it. There are always sharks who want to take some of this. And there's this sort of layer of these agencies and bosses, right?
That's correct. I mean, live streaming started off in China as just a simple way to have some real-time fun and real-time free entertainment. But gradually, as live streamers accumulate more and more fans and the fans started buying them lots of digital gifts, when there's money to be had, naturally, a lot of people, a lot of different characters just congregate on this platform, trying to make monies of this whole system. So it evolved into a very elaborate games that's actually mirroring a lot of the social hierarchies and the capitalist pursuit in real life. They evolved online as well.
Hmm. And what's the time frame? I mean, how quickly did that happen? Your documentary is out now. Would you say that now is the moment when it's sort of at its peak as a business?
So right now, live streaming in China has really matured. I started filming back in 2014 when live streaming was just taking off in China. In 2016, it really exploded into national consciousness. In 2016 and 17, there was so much VC money going into live streaming. Every day, it seems like there's a new live streaming platform started up. And people were talking about live streaming in news programs, in newspaper magazines. Everybody seems to be talking about it. So right now, I think live streaming has become so mature that it's in all different channels. For example, like Alibaba, Taobao, they have live streaming. They have live streamers trying to sell merchandise through live streaming. It's almost like you can start up your own home shopping network, and live streaming is in education. Obviously, this kind of live streaming entertainment and gaming remains to be extremely popular. But right now, I wouldn't say that it's as buzzy as before, just because it's like in everybody's everyday life.
Right. So then do you think, I think we've certainly seen a similar evolution of internet content where it was like anyone can do this, and then it got more and more polished, and then there were middlemen and agencies and agents, and now it's sort of starting to feel more like, I don't know, television or entertainment. Like, do you see the same thing? Will there be companies buying other companies and winners and losers there too?
Yeah, I mean, technology has this this characteristics that just accelerate things. So in live streaming right now is really like the showbiz, real life showbiz, but just on steroids. For example, like the agencies in the live streaming space, they spend a lot of money, real money, into buying the live streamers that they manage, either votes or digital gifts, to pump up their popularity. And in return, they take a 20% cut into their income. And the live streaming platforms, knowing that everybody's trying to make money, they design a lot of competitions trying to encourage all the patrons and fans into spending money to support their online idols to win the competition so they can take a huge cut. For example, most of the live streaming platforms, they take between 50 to 60% of the income. So everybody seems to want to make money off this. And because it's online, it's very scalable. You'll be with these online platforms, millions and millions of people are watching it. So everybody's out to make a quick buck and make a lot of money.
Right. I mean, it feels like your movie is very neutral, but it also feels like everyone is being exploited here, from the viewers to the hosts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that everybody willingly participate. They know they're being trapped in this game, but they cannot get out because there's so much money at hand.
Yeah. What would you say is the closest platform to YY in the United States? Is it Twitch?
If you look at the technology per se, I would say it's Twitch because Twitch is live streaming. But there's a lot of differences in terms of what kind of content is being served, how people consume that content. If I simply look at it from the content side and how typical user react to that content and consume the content, I will actually compare that to YouTube here. Because in China, vlogging never took off because China doesn't have online advertising model that supports vloggers to make a lot of money. So with this live streaming, the typical internet user can start doing live streaming, create content, and because China has this gifting model that actually supports them to make a lot of income, so they're continuing. I will compare that to the YouTube culture here, actually.
Okay. Why do you think that it's so popular, viewing live streaming and paying people directly and this whole sort of phenomenon?
I think just live streaming just taps into a lot of internet users' needs. For example, like here in the US, when I go to visit YouTube, when I look at the content, I also found it bizarre why millions of teenagers consume that kind of content. So in China as well, before I started filming this, I really couldn't understand why so many quote-unquote diaozi losers, the self-identified losers in China's society, they like live streaming as well. But I think ultimately, though, it's because these kind of poor fans, they are watching another person of similar background creating content and streaming it live. that the content is actually to their taste. Whether it's because like dirty jokes or very some, you know, just some simple karaoke singing, they actually like that content. More importantly, they like to consume this content live. So they feel like they're interacting with the live streamers. And when they spend a little bit of money to buy digital gifts for these live streamers, the live streamer will acknowledge them in their showroom. So they feel like they have certain control over this kind of entertainment consumption process. Because for a typical, when users watch typical televisions, they are passive. But in live streaming, you can participate in that process.
Also, one just sort of interesting note is that no matter, China is, it appears, a fully mobile economy. Like everyone has a phone, right? It doesn't matter if you're poor, you still have a smartphone and a streaming plan, which is very different actually from the United States, where some of that is unaffordable. But I noticed just watching it, it's sort of like no matter how poor you are, you still have a phone and you can send a digital gift.
That's correct. I mean, China just leapfrogged the landline technology, and you know, mobile. A lot of young people grew up with mobile technology, so they're native mobile natives.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we're starting to slowly have in the U.S. is a conversation about the sort of the morals of YouTube culture, right? What is the responsibility of the company, because they also profit when you know these stars do these big stunts that might be in poor taste or really offensive. Is any of that conversation happening now? Is there any kind of a broad social conversation about exploiting these hosts or users?
Yeah, it's definitely happening in China as well. I think right now the Chinese government and also the elites in the society, they're becoming very wary and of the live streaming content just because it's considered very crass. So I think the government is actually trying to crack down on live streaming because they don't want, first of all, a lot of young people are watching live streaming. They don't want young people to consume a lot of content that's sexual. And in the same time, because on live streaming platforms, wealth is very blatantly worshipped. So the government doesn't want this kind of values being conveyed to the younger generation as well.
Right. So that is not common, because that is one of the things that I found most fascinating about the documentary is how brazen everyone is in talking about money. I'm very rich. You know, I can get this person to do whatever I want, or you only like me because you're rich. It's really startling.
Yeah, it is. In some ways, it's an honest reflection of what's happening in China right now, like the society. A lot of people in China are really just chasing after money. Money is the ultimate measure of success in their society right now. But I think, the government and the elites, once again, they frown upon this type of content, this kind of honesty. So, yeah, I think people in China are not necessarily discussing the drawbacks of technology and the same level as people here. Here, well, sometimes we're concerned about the alienation of technology, but over there it's more about what kind of value, what kind of viewpoints the content is being promoted in live streaming.
Are there the same stunts, like the same type of controversial comment or content, or is it mostly like the things that they say and how sexual it is? That's the attention getting.
Yeah, I mean, live streaming, there's different forms of live streaming. A lot of the times, even for people like featured in my film, usually they sit in their own quote-unquote studios and they live stream either a talk show or a karaoke singing, right? But then they also, sometimes they use their phones to live streaming as well in their real life. And there have been reports of live streamers live streaming, you know, driving a luxury car to show off and then crashed. And there's other people who do daredevil stunts. They're live streaming themselves. One of the live streamers actually fell to death. So these kind of crazy stunts that Chinese live streamers do in China is the same as I think a lot of YouTubers do here, except because there's so much money involved in China's live streaming and also how the platform designed all these rules to encourage people to spend. That's much more extreme than what we're experiencing here with YouTube or Twitch.
Right. And you have to get even more and more extreme if you want someone to give you hundreds of thousands of dollars, which it sounds like people do, which is crazy to imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it really, I guess now, see, now I'm so interested in the parallels, but it does seem to be on YouTube also that it really is about economic mobility, that for these people who want to be live streamers or YouTube stars, it is a way to make money in an economy that doesn't let everyone make money.
That's correct. I think a lot of times there have been a lot of reports in the U.S. as well about YouTubers. They feel burned out, right? They want to get away from the internet. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the live streamers in my film. They all feel trapped by the internet because on one hand, it feels like there's so much money. It's relatively easy money to be made. But on the other hand, they are constantly online, maintaining relationships with their fans, with their patrons, with their agency bosses. They are online all the time, but in real life, they don't have any real friends and their family relationships break down and they feel miserable. But it's so hard to walk away from all that. So I think that kind of a complicated relationship that the internet celebrities are having with technology is very similar across cultures.
Hao Wu is the director of People's Republic of Desire. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.